Drunk on Comics, episode 119, live from Grand Con.
It's not episode 220 like I thought it was. No.
We didn't time travel. I don't think it's live either. Well, I mean, it's live for us.
Well,
this is real life, guys.
We're alive.
The con is in the air.
Yeah, and this is the last day of the con, which we can say this. But I think we broke a couple people this week.
Very much so. We were the life of the after party.
Well, we kind of put on two unofficial after parties, one on Friday, one on Saturday, and little pinball magic on Friday night. Some
rocking karaoke.
Some karaoke gold last night. Yeah, so it's been fun, man. So thank you. Before we do anything else to Grand Con. I can't thank those guys enough for what they've done for us and putting on a fun show. And, you know, I don't know, what are you guys thinking so far?
It's been a crazy fun weekend. Like, just hanging out with our friends again in our hometown is excellent. And having been able to show them some of our favorite watering holes.
Bingo!
But it is a completely different dynamic, because this is not only a comic book convention, but it's also a gaming convention. So you get in some interesting walks of life through here.
Yeah, it's not your standard Comic-Con, you know, because it's just more than that. So yeah, it's fun though.
Yeah, it's definitely. There is some interest from the gaming community about comics, and it's cool to talk to those people, but usually you're talking to them with a blank slate, which
that's kind of fun. I mean, I like being able to talk to people about comics when they come to us, because, you know, we're experts.
Yeah, one thing I love to talk about people is giving referrals. I'll throw a lob ball here or there. About what's my go-to letter 44. Honestly, I tell that, or they're a different type of breed. Then I'll tell them Afterlife with Archie.
Wow, what's that?
That wasn't my
fault.
It's
party time, everybody. It's sexy time.
Sexy time.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. But that's where I go to. Those two comics for someone new in the comics.
Actually, you know, that's a good topic. I mean, Tony, what are your go-tos?
Fantastic. I mean, they're always your favorites. But I mean, to get someone in, Fantastic Four has always been one of those. I mean, they were
Silver Age.
I know what I was going to say, the golden years, but
yeah, it's an original series that you feel that you could give to anybody and they'll be instantly drawn in.
Yeah.
Derek?
Saga. I mean, that's the book. I mean, that's a book for everybody, because it's your space opera, it's your fantasy, it's your romance.
It's family, action. It's your mom, it's your go-headed people.
Yeah, you know, it's sextillion, you know. I mean, it's just such a good place to get somebody, I think, into comics that is not familiar with the sequential storytelling. Because I think the superhero stuff, if they want to go that, then I'm going to tell them, read the new Daredevil series with Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. That's a great way to go, but
I changed my answer. I'm Death of Wolverine. They just, once you get into that, you'll know everything.
Yeah. Matt?
Hey, guys. Yeah. Hey, what's going on? It's the first time I've said something like
that. You know, I've been waiting. Matt, what's
gonna say, I like board games.
What's your take on the concept? No, what would be your go-to if somebody had to ask?
There are, like you said, there's a difference between, are we going like a superhero genre, or are we doing like
Shakespeare?
Like, do we want a good story or
pick one superhero, one not?
I would say I'd probably get somebody into Fables if they were someone who wanted
a good
storyline.
Yeah.
Like they wanted a nice solid story, mostly because they're very familiar with those characters already, being that they're, you know, fairy tale folklore people, and it's a fairly easy story to follow, so, you know, But it's real fun. It takes lots of fun twists and turns. You know, kind of the cliche answer would be Sandman, but I don't think Sandman's for everyone because I think it does take a lot of thought and, you know, there's some pretty rich storytelling, but it doesn't always make sense right away, so...
And I know this is not, like, what we normally do, but do you guys kind of, like, if you had a go-to publisher to tell people, you know, that were just stepping in?
For me, I mean, years ago, I would instantly tell you DC, but in the last probably 6 months or so, I'd probably steer people towards Boom.
Yeah. That's if it was a brand new reader, that's probably where I would send them.
Yeah. Image has got lots of options though out right now too.
So yeah. Image would be the number two for me on that.
And obviously, I still am buying my Avengers, so I'd tell people to jump in on that occasionally. Mm-hmm. But
who publishes that? I don't know.
Some Disney, I think.
Marvel.
But as far as superheroes, I would really I'd steer people in the direction of what type of superhero do you want? Do you want a street level crime solving, you know, character?
Like Daredevil.
Do you want something that like has the whole universe at stake? The Avengers. You know, there's a good nice gamut in between. Do you like mythology?
You said gamut.
Gamut. Gamut. Yes. All right.
Well, podcast listeners, if you have any other suggestions for us, please look us up on Twitter or the Facebook. And drop a couple other suggestions of what you like to recommend to people who are looking to maybe snag a new book.
Yeah. Or
if you have suggestions on what we should sing at karaoke next.
Yeah. Well, then they should come out. Well, we had some fans out last night.
I could see one of you guys doing, or maybe you guys together doing a duet, man, of Elton John, Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't go breaking my heart. I wouldn't even try.
Bum, bum.
Dude, we haven't sang on the show in a long time.
You know what we have to do? We have to do a cappella karaoke. We just show up as the group, and we can make the background music, and you guys can sing.
Let's just go do it on the con floor today.
All right, we can do that. But let's get into Off the Shelf.
Yes, Off the Shelf, brought to you by Grand Con. Actually, everything today is pretty much brought to you by Grand Con.
They're awesome, and, you know, this will happen again next year, so look forward to it.
Yeah. Matt, what? Since it's been a while since I've heard a review from you, because you've been very busy. And by the way... two congratulations to the baby,
yep.
And happy belated 30th birthday.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I'm old now.
Yeah, so old fart, go ahead and tell us what you read.
Well, I jumped into the future, because time travel is still our thing, or at least it's still a thing in Marvel. And this is Avengers number 35, which is the 8 months time runs out storyline. Fans that might not be familiar with it, Marvel announced a few months ago, not 8 months ago, but a few months ago, that their Avengers line are going to jump 8 months into the future. And so readers who start are going to be a little confused because many things will be changed, and they'll kind of hint about events that might have happened, but we won't know how those have happened yet. The rest of the books are going to kind of help catch you up to what's happening 8 months so that when they get there...
But they're not 8 months in the future yet.
This book is almost like if you read them in chronological order, this is supposed to come out in 8 months.
This is the start of that.
Yes. Okay. So this is the first issue of jumping ahead,
okay.
And now then the rest of them are going to, and the many Avengers books are there, Axis is going to have events that will change how people are
and this
leading.
And this will tie into Axis?
Yes. The things that happen in Axis will have ramifications.
Axis is the new...
It's a crossover event.
And that's coming up in like a handful of months, right?
Yeah, very soon. The other book I have this week is the March on Axis, which it's coming up soon. But,
all right.
So, you know, I love my Avengers. And I really...
What?
Yeah.
Bingo.
I really love...
Did you say bingo?
Yeah. Well, they were making fun of me because I have catchphrases and things that I always say, like watering hole, which Tony took care of already. And I talk about Daredevil and, you know... So we were going to make up a bingo card of things when we say it.
Okay. I got it. I thought that was going to be...
People can play at home and play bingo.
So Matt reviewing an Avengers book is...
Yeah.
I think it's the free space in the middle, though, because you can always count on it to be reliable.
Well, because I have my stupid things that I say. Tony and Matt can reel them off faster than I can. Tony, when he does reviews, when he's wrapping things up, is always so ultimately.
So fabulous is my new word.
Brian Michael Bendis had a very long run on Avengers ever since Avengers disassembled and they reassembled it. Jonathan Hickman here, this 35 issues in, which has seemed like a really long time, but since they've come out like twice a month, it's been hurting the wallet. But what I love is the story that he's told is it is a very large story arc. It still has to do with these incursions and the whole multiverse dying and trying to figure out how to save it. And so that's what the time is running out, is that it's going to finally come to a head that this story arc is going to have an ending here in 8 months. But now we have to get up to it.
I kind of have the feeling that this 8 months ahead is almost like The Usual Suspects. How you kind of see the beginning, mm-hmm. or you see the ending in the beginning, mm-hmm. but you don't know how it's going to get there.
It's not an absolutely unique storytelling aspect or way to tell a story, but it works very effectively, especially when done right. And I think one of the things I have liked about this Avengers run is that it doesn't feel like they've been rushing things. It feels like, you know, it does still feel like we're on the same problem, but we're getting different aspects of it, and they're incorporating. When you have that tangent issue that you're like, what did this have to do about anything? It gets reincorporated into it. So it's been a really good, solid, tight run. Jonathan Hickman was the writer here. Lots of pencilers. Jim Chuang, Paco Medina, Nick Bradshaw, and Dustin Weaver.
Wow.
Yeah, and then a whole bunch of inkers as well. Mark Morales, Guillermo Ortego, Juan Velasco. Velasco, Nick Bradshaw, and Dustin Weaver also for anchors. So, big book to start this off. Stuff happens. New characters introduced. It gives you that feel of, oh, it is 8 months in the future. Some people have kids now. Thor has grown a beard again. Hyperion, who is the Marvel equivalent of Superman, but much cooler than Superman, which is a topic for another day, is.
Are you saying he's got a beard? Because he's not a dick.
Kind of,
you always said Superman's a dick.
No, Superman, we'll get another Superman time, that, another time. AIM, which
like
is great.
That beards are like the big time change.
Yeah,
thing,
you
like,
can tell that time has passed because I've got a beard now.
For me, it's like 2 days.
Yeah. Time, one of the nice things about it is AIM, who, you know, the mad scientist terrorist and stuff. Apparently, one of the vulnerabilities of running your place like a large corporation is that it's also vulnerable to takeovers. Sunspot apparently has taken over AIM as its head CEO. And so they're using the... And he goes, most of the scientists there, really good guys. They're just... They've been misguided by the people running the company. So I think that's kind of neat that you've got all the AIM scientists now working with them to solve this problem. Couple neat things. Thor, as he is no longer worthy, he doesn't have Mjolnir, but he's got his big axe, Mjolnir. I hope I'm saying that right. Anyone in Sweden, any Norse.
Sounded better than what I can say.
Any Scandinavians want to correct me. But he's also got his left arm is now metallic.
Whoa.
Jason Aaron's run of Thor, where they saw King Thor in the future, he had his left arm replaced by the Destroyer armor. So I don't know why he's got it already, but that's one of those things like, oh, I'm going to figure that out here in the next 8 months.
Whoa.
So I think that's pretty awesome. And Thor's pretty broody and upset because he's no longer worthy. And then we get into like kind of the main problem here. The Illuminati, the secret society, are trying to stop the incursions, and they've done some awful things trying to do that. And then the other heroes, Avengers, have apparently now been folded into S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s organization. It feels very much like Civil War, except that the kind of the roles are reversed. Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D. are working against Tony Stark, who's the rogue runners. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't make me too happy, but when you start hearing about people who might be in the Illuminati now, like Amadeus Chow, Hank Pym, you start realizing, oh, it's all the really smart people have joined the Illuminati. And all the kind of like, hey, we're good people, but we're not super scientists, are the ones that are left on the other side of the coin. So so it's definitely got a Civil War feel to it, but better, I think. So
yeah. So now, you're flipping through this, and with, you know, what was it, 4 or 5 different pencilers?
Yeah.
You know, you obviously have some art style changes. Reading it, was that a great thing? Did you notice as much?
It's kind of subtle. It almost feels like there's a house style. Is it like DC has that? It does flow together very well. There isn't like painted pages next to inked pages and stuff. It's not like the Thor Loki run where you have Simone Bianchi doing all the things in Heaven, and her style is way different than the other artist, who I apologize, I can't remember.
Was it Esad Ribic? Was that?
No,
he was just doing the regular Thor.
Yeah. Okay, so, but anyway, so you can see some of it is different, but overall, it's got.
It seems like a slow transition. Mm-hmm. Like the way that it's paced, it makes more sense. Like as that art style transitions, because it's a little bit more cartoony, maybe at the beginning, and that's not the. I don't. Say
some
that.
Of the characters, like Cannonball, you can kind of see there's a little more of a animated style, a little more whimsical and stuff. But by the time you get to the end, it's. You get a lot of dark shadowing, and it's much more serious, and feels like a, espionage.
Yeah,
because it is. He's trying to sneak in and steal that.
You know, as it goes on, it's a little bit finer line, a little bit more cross-hatching in there, and it does change. Mm-hmm. So
readers, if you want something to start off on, this is a kind of interesting jumping on point. But you're going to be much better served if you get some of the back issues and follow. Just listen to every review I do, and then you'll know.
But I will say, though, the nice thing with this is a perfect example of jumping into something where you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, because no one really knows exactly what's going on. You just get hints of things.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
So that's my overly long review, and so I'll slowly time travel into the present as this series goes on.
Kevin? Kevin just got confused.
I did, but that's... Should be no surprise to anybody, especially our listeners. So, I went a little off base. This actually isn't new this week.
So you time traveled as well?
A little bit. Little bit.
Did you go back to your old shitty comic shop?
No, I didn't. And I picked this up, admittedly, and I was pissed at first when I, not the book, but my comic book store, that they have this all new off-the-shelf stuff this week, and I'm like, oh, this looks good. So I picked it off the shelf, and then flipping through it, I'm like, well, these ads are from several months ago. I'm like, fuck, duped again. But then I read a bunch of other books, and my mind kept on going back to this one. And it kept on going back, and I was reading more about it online. This is a book that came out in July, and the next issue number 2, as it should be no surprise to regular listeners that I'm going to be reviewing in number 1, actually comes out next week.
Wow.
So I'm giving you a reason to go pick something new off the shelf next week.
It is time travel.
Yes, so...
it actually makes sense this time.
So the short title of what I'm going to review is G.I. Zombie.
G.I. Zombie.
G.I. Zombie. Now, what does G.I. stand for? Like
General Infantry.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. I knew it was going to be something
it's
like...
It's Mr. Joe's first two initials. So, George Irwin Joe.
So The full title of this is called Star Spangled War Stories, G.I. Zombie Number 1. And this is written by Justin Gray, who's done some work on Batwing and Freedom Fighters, and Jimmy Paul Miotti, who's also done some work with Punisher and Painkiller Jane.
Yeah.
Now, both of them are currently both working on Jonah Hex. And I haven't picked up Jonah Hex in a long time, but I was talking...
I haven't picked it up ever.
Yeah, I mean, not even when that movie came out. Because usually when a movie comes up, maybe I'll pick up a few issues to be like, oh, check it out.
I've missed that movie, too.
But I was talking to a few people that are just like, yeah, Jonah Hex is something to pick up if you haven't picked it up lately. So I don't know, this might... Because, honest to God, G.I. Zombie, like, I said it again... I kept then going back in my mind and reading this along with all of my other books because it was so good. Now the premise of it is that you have a Navy SEAL or a Ranger and
special ops person.
Yeah, and he's been zombieized. And they figured out, I guess, and they haven't explained this. This is just me speculating. Is that they've found out how to create a zombie, but yet the zombie's intelligent, and they can figure out how to use him undercover.
Okay.
So it's more like undercover zombie versus GI zombie. But the idea is great. They've paired him with a special agent, and they're trying to infiltrate a gang. And everything about the story is wonderful. The interesting is that the zombie, and I took shitty notes, I forgot his name, but the zombie, you can imagine, there's only one in this book, so you'll have an idea what I'm talking about.
George Irwin.
let's go with that. No, he's not even introduced until halfway into the book.
Oh.
So it's gripping storytelling from the very beginning, even before they get to the zombie, and then it's just a great joy ride after they introduce them. Another thing that really got me is that this book gives the way it's drawn, it has this like indie comic feel to it. And I don't know, guys know I'm shitty at explaining crap. How would you explain this kind of art style? To me,
it's a little bit more of kind of like that old film noir, like the 60s movies, like, you know, horror movie feel.
How about something like this, like a Sin City with color?
The colors are muted and dull, and that kind of gives it a dirty feel to it, and then I see lots of people who are bleeding and, you know, butchered up, so.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of fine pencil work in that as well. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely a different style. I think for something like this, I mean, especially when you see the cover of the book, the cover itself kind of gives you that feel of going back to the old school, like 1960s, 1970s, even before some of the creepy and eerie comics.
The cover gives me a kind of like a Hellboy vibe almost.
I see shapes and colors.
That's good.
I see fields of green, red roses too.
That's the blood. That's all the blood.
Yeah.
But I'm super stoked. The more I think about it, I think the comic book shop, they knew that the next issue was coming out next week. So they're like, let's throw this out there and see if people will
pick it up.
Maybe it was by design. If that, I'll give them credit. I'm still gonna be a little pissed that I pick up something that was like not brand new. But I'm happy at the end of the day. I'm definitely picking up number two. This seems like a short run. It's a long period of time between ones and twos, but according to the DC Comics site, should be they'll have issues 2 through 5 monthly starting next week. Which would be the end of
September.
So, all right, who's next?
Hey, I was just going to say, did I ever tell you that I ran into another person who
was equally
angry about your crappy comic book shop?
I'm sorry. I'm looking over my notes. I'm totally Scott Hampton, Colors and Art.
Okay.
Totally missed him. I mean, we spent like half of my review talking about it, and we didn't give him credit. So, Scott Hampton, thank you.
Cool. Tony, what did you have?
I had a fun book. Something out of the norm, because, you know, every book has annuals, but only Deadpool has a biannual, because they decided we already did an annual already, but
we need more Deadpool.
Yes, and since he's in every other book, let's make another book that's annual with him. So with what's going on in Deadpool, this is honestly a one shot.
What?
Inside joke.
Fuck you guys. However, this is not being written by Posehn or Dugan. It's Paul Scheer and Nick Giovanetti.
Paul Shearer is that actor that was on the League.
Oh,
that
yeah.
goofy looking guy that's a comedian.
Actor. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, he is funny, and this was full of inside jokes, but Art Selva Espin, and we start off with him kind of talking about how he has been working for S.H.I.E.L.D. lately, and having him just jump out of the back of the airplane, and one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents go, wasn't he wearing a parachute? They go, nope, ever since he found out Captain America doesn't wear a parachute. He goes up. So he's singing, when Captain America throws his mighty shield, something, something, something yields, something about fighting dudes, then red, white, and blue, something when Captain America throws his mighty shield. Like, singing the Captain America song. And he's supposed to be going in to capture this person. No, he just splatters on the guy, destroys him, totally kills him, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, why the hell are we still sending this dude in to do stuff? We skip ahead to what the whole book is about, and he then gets hired by this... SeaWorld type place to stop Brute Force. Brute Force is a eagle type. They're robots, mechanical, anamorphic, nanotechnology creatures. They can turn into kind of vehicles. They also have, like, they can pretty much do everything, and they pretty much talk about how when these guys were created, like, their tech is a little bit better than even Tony Stark's, and that their muscles, you know, this and that. So you got a lion who's kind of the leader. You got a dolphin. You have a bear.
So is the dolphin the scientist?
Yes, actually. And then you have a kangaroo guy, and ultimately they've been destroying all these different SeaWorld places.
Bingo.
Fuck off.
What? He said ultimately.
Unultimately. Opposite of ultimately. So you have Deadpool, who then goes about trying to stop them, and that's quite easy. Just shoot the bird, shoot the lion, and they're down. Pretty much he kicks everyone's ass except for the giant bear, who comes in a giant bear robot thingy. This whole book is fun. He breaks the fourth wall, even saying, who are these two guys? Like, asking, you know, where's Jerry?
Yeah.
And who the fuck?
Tom and Jerry?
No. Well,
the writer is an artist on the normal series.
Yeah, he talks about Ben and Jerry, too. Ultimately, where I feel that this goes, I'm going to use ultimately as much as I can, because it's a fabulous word.
Indubitably.
He pretty much tells these guys that he realized this SeaWorld place is actually bad. He can understand why this Brute Force is trying to liberate all the animals, because, well, all these other animals in captivity are pretty much being held against their will.
Yeah, so we got some pop culture, because people are very mad at SeaWorld right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes, I kind of backed the wrong team. So who does he call? Agent Coulson.
Why?
Because he's working for S.H.I.E.L.D., so he's got Coulson's number. And Coulson's trying to, like, tell Deadpool, well, not right now, dude. And you're kind of wondering what the hell's going on with Coulson, because he's sweating everything. Then you find out, oh, he's on a beach getting a back massage.
See, in Tahiti?
Yep.
It's a magical place.
Massages in a tropical locale. Little, you know, Easter egg thing. Boom. That joke just bridged to Marvel Universe like it was an incursion. And I'm like, this writing is so amazing. He's friends with Brute Force, so they're like, Coulson, like, who hates Agent Coulson?
Yeah, no one hates Agent Coulson.
Ultimately, they have a fight, they have a team up, and Deadpool pretty much says, this is how it's going to go. I would have kicked your guys' ass, but now let's do upgrades. So where they go, and they are attacking the SeaWorld. The giant killer whale that was being messed with turns into a giant robot. Oh, but they have upgrades. So what do? Form of Ultron type thing.
Of course.
But then they still get their ass kicked. The secret weapon was the one guy that he was talking to at the SeaWorld who collects DNA samples from the orca whale, who is the bull of the whales for breeding purposes. Collecting samples. The orca is about ready to kill everyone, and the young guy goes, or the older guy goes, hey, you know, buddy, just... how about let me quick get a sample? The mom's covering the kid's eyes. Don't watch. You can tell by the whale how that sample was collected, and he's passed out. Very adult.
What is that rated? Is that a mature?
Parental advisory.
Okay, yeah. I would say so.
Wow.
DNA on the front. I mean, very much that joke was like, wow.
That's a little surprising.
A bit bold that got through the publishers, but hey, I guess we don't have the censorship anymore.
Well, yeah. Well, so.
You got the parental advisory.
So, Tony, now that we've read the story, how was the art?
The art was good.
Ultimately, though, it's the story that sells it.
All right. I'm going to try and make this one quick here. This week, I got Translucid, number 6 of 6. And, Tony, did you miss this issue?
Yep.
Okay, so I won't spoil this one.
I think you got, the last one at the shop.
This was on my poll, so... but this is... Number 66 from Boom Studios. It's written and created by Claudio Sanchez and Chandra Eckert. Illustrated by Daniel Bayless. Colors by Adam Metcalf. And letters by Ed Dukeshire. Jeff Stokely also did the cover on this. This book, if people are not familiar with it, has been dealing with a hero, the Navigator, and his arch enemy, the Horse. And it's similar to a Batman and Joker kind of hero-villain relationship. But this has been a very, very interesting, I guess, transgression through their relationship. Where you're seeing a lot more of it actually from the villain's standpoint. And he's showing you who this hero really is. And it's this, I knew this was going to be a little bit tougher to explain without giving much away, but this issue, a lot of it is actually taking place in the mind of the Navigator, who is the hero. The Horse captured him and basically tranquilized him with a horse tranquilizer. but he's somehow wired himself into the mind. The Horse has wired himself into the mind of the Navigator, and he's basically playing like a game of chess, more or less, inside this guy's head, like within his. And I didn't even mean the chess, like as in the knight, to make the little horse joke, but you actually are seeing where this hero came from, a childhood, how like from a small child, the bad things that happened in his life that made him stand up for other people and become the hero and develop his technology and why he does the things that he does. I absolutely loved what Sanchez and Eckert did with this story, because they put a spin on that relationship between the hero and the villain, unlike you ever really get in your standard superhero book, where the hero, you know, yeah, he's a good guy, but is the villain really a villain? And it's one of those things where the villain says, if it wasn't for me, you would not have risen to this occasion. You would not have been able to do all the good deeds that you've done. I'm as much responsible for your good deeds as you are, type of thing. And it's just beautifully done. The artwork in here has been just stunning by Bayless throughout the whole thing. Very, very descriptive. The ending to this, you remember, Tony, when we were talking to Claudio and Chandra at C2E2, and we kind of asked, is there a chance that this could go on?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and they basically said, in a perfect world, no, because this
wraps story.
Up.
Yeah.
Wow. It wrapped up beautifully. And I'm not going to give it away, because if people haven't read the first 5 issues, you know, they really need to go back and read it. But if you haven't, you haven't got a chance to read this issue yet, not what I expected by any means. And I was happily surprised by that. Just because of the fact that, you know, you think sometimes with the superhero stories, unfortunately, a lot of times it can be formulaic, even if it's a new spin on something.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a new spin. This was a whole new thing. So, beautifully done. And if you guys can't get it in print, you can go buy it digitally. I'm sure the trade's going to be coming out soon, but one of the best miniseries I've read in a long time.
When you were reading it, did you ever want to pair it up with Dr. Horrible's Bad Horse, right?
No.
Okay.
Not so much. But, yeah, it's a fantastic book. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, everything from these, like, I don't want to call them dream sequences, where, I mean, everything is just surreal. I mean, the colors.
It's kind of translucent, right?
Yes, very much. Very much, yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess we can gallop off the shelf and, you know, trot on over to some news and notes.
Yeah, I prefer to mosey.
I got some notes. So, ultimately, there is a lot of synonyms for ultimately, but there's only one antonym, never. So, if I try to be opposite now, I just got to say never to everything. So,
okay.
Never was this book good. Never was the... Fuck you guys. Let's go to...
Never not.
Never did I not enjoy this book.
Yeah.
Ain't.
Well, you know, considering that we always talk about the shit that we like, saying never was this good, we wouldn't talk about that book to start with anyway.
Ultimately why I talk about them.
quick follow-up to... I think we talked about it possibly on the last two shows. The Supergirl TV show is confirmed that it's going to CBS. So there's that, probably next year-ish, I'm guessing, but just wanted to mention that one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been, there's a lot of DC TV shows seem to be coming out or getting slated. They seem to be going to lots of different networks, obviously except ABC since they're Disney and they're exclusively Marvel then. But I was a little bit surprised to hear the number of different networks that Warner Brothers seems to be working with. Since they ultimately own the right for DC's. But,
continue.
Anyways, speaking of which, there's another a show that at least Tony and I are really anticipating, Lucifer, which is an extension from Neil Gaiman's version of Lucifer in the Sandman series that was picked up by Mike Carey and had a very awesome run. That would be one of those books that I would suggest to people. Depending on what their tastes were.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is just doing good with... I mean, they're sucking as far as movies go of actually making the universe, but they're having Arrow, Flash, Constantine, Gotham...
Well, they're just like coming up with everything that could be a potential TV show and turning it into... You know, seeing what sticks. I mean, they're just kind of producing everything and...
Yeah, it seems weird that there's so many shows coming out at once. I mean, like, how can... people digest all this at one time?
Well, each one is a bit different than the other one, though, so it's just like having ER and Grey's Anatomy. I mean, they're...
Well, yeah, but those are competing shows from competing companies, whereas, you know, I guess...
Well, not all these are on the same network, though.
Yeah, but ultimately, DC wants to cash in on it.
Ultimately, I'm going to kill somebody today. I think the interesting thing, though, is... It's kind of like putting too many books out at once. You know, is how I'm
oversaturating the market.
Yeah, I mean,
but I mean, how's that worked out for Marvel so far?
But you're talking about a couple, one movie, one TV show.
But let's say even though that you didn't know these were comic books at all, it's still a great story. So whether someone comes up with an original idea for a TV show or they base it off of a property already. Who cares if they're all based off comic books, if they're made well and it's a good story? Fuck it.
Got a little fun fact for you, though, about Lucifer. You know where he made his very first appearance?
I'm looking it up, so I'm cheating.
Back in 1962, he was in Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, number 65.
Oh, I was going to say back
this
in...
This version of Lucifer?
I was going to say back in B.C. before Christ in the Bible, he kind of appeared once. But
well, actually, kind of at the beginning of time when God created the angels. See, that was like Michael and Lucifer, Samuel were kind of the original two.
Do you think when God created the universe, he was building it like Minecraft?
Ultimately, yes.
Because, well, speaking of Minecraft...
Like Legos.
Oh, look at that segue.
Yeah. Microsoft just purchased Minecraft for $2.5
billion. $1 billion.
Now, real money or Minecraft money?
Bitcoins.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was surprising for a property that's... or a game that's already well established.
It's probably, I would imagine, it's over the curve of popularity that somebody is developing something new that's going to take over pretty soon.
Well, there's the potential for sequels, but apparently the property rights, both the merchandising itself, is massive.
Merchandising.
Yeah. I've never. You know, personally, I don't see the appeal of Minecraft. It's bugged me because at family get-togethers, my younger cousins will only play that game, and I'm a social person that wants to actually talk to them.
Have you played it?
What?
Have you played it?
No. No, Derek, I've seen enough of it that I know it would be for me.
I think I downloaded it, and I went, I didn't know what to do, and then I just deleted it.
Tony, you play it?
He's playing it right now.
I play it in real life with Lego blocks.
Yeah.
I haven't played it either, but...
My fucking cousins all the time, man.
I gotta give it a spin, but
no, like I said, I'm not dissing the game. I know it's not my forte.
Sure, it's probably not any of our fortes, but something that big's gotta be mention worthy.
I think they've done some amazing things, like they've recreated Middle Earth in Minecraft world, like to scale, and they're trying to like build the whole world, I guess, the whole planet Earth. So I think there's a ton of networking and like great projects that these people have worked on, but ultimately it's like, oh.
One big thing that I'm quite excited for is that Fox has finally listened to the internet, and they are making a Deadpool movie.
Good.
And ever since that test footage leaked, then they were like, okay, let's just, instead of the leaked version, we'll put out the real version, and that just got everyone excited for what this movie could be, which really honestly has had the gears flowing through of making it happen.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed that I'm seeing the PG-13 on it, because I really feel like this needs to be like Punisher Warzone, where you get people's heads exploding and... You know, stuff, because Deadpool is pretty violent.
No, I didn't read any of these articles, but that's what they're going
to
aim for.
That's what they're aiming for. It will give them a lot more money to be able to make it.
Merchandising.
But the thing is this, I really want the R rating too, because I feel that. But from what the people have been saying, is that a lot of people that are demanding this R rating haven't even read the script, don't understand it, but it is great even with the PG-13. So I'm going to trust them enough. Yeah. Until I start hearing more of the plot and everything and how they do it, but...
Any word for... Is Ryan Reynolds still...
He still wants to do it. They haven't officially... Now that they officially announced the movie, he's been wanting to do it. So they don't have a deal yet, but he flat out said when he heard that they're going to finally actually do it, he goes, it's about time, so...
Okay. Yeah, but he's been box office poison lately. I don't know. That's a big risk.
I think this is a perfect role for him.
Well, it's mostly voice acting.
Because he wouldn't be in the suit.
Yeah, but they're gonna but when in the promotion they always build the lead actor.
If they're gonna do it, they should do it where he's got the hamburger face and he's really ugly and stuff.
Quick little tie-in to other things that did work for Marvel: Rocket and Groot. There are a ton of Rocket and Groot variant covers coming out from Marvel. And it's going to be in November. It's pretty much, I think it's like about 20 different books are going to have.
Even Deadpool is going to have a Rocket variant.
Yeah, which is bizarre. But, you know, I saw some of these, and they're actually pretty fun. You know, it's like, I don't know if I'll necessarily pick them up because that's not that big of a thing for me, but there are some really cool ones. The Superior Iron Man number one is going to have one. It definitely... I don't know. They're fun, so if you're into that kind of stuff, there you go. Last thing, we talked a while back about Captain Citrus.
Dude, I was so excited that you forwarded this link. can I enlighten the best part of this article to everybody? Okay. So, this is a quote from the Department of Citrus spokesman David Steele. He goes on to say, "People don't drink OJ because they have to. People drink OJ because it's fun."
I know. I'm like, I'm not thirsty, but man, OJ is so fun.
Well, I drink OJ because it's oranges made into juice.
I could see it being fun, you know, a little vodka, you know, some screwdriver action.
Yeah.
But
maybe some peach schnapps, do a little fuzzy navel.
I got so many thoughts about the OJ commission.
It'd be right, interesting if that's one of the character flaws of Captain Citrus, is that he's an alcoholic, a recovered alcoholic like Iron Man.
That could be your next commission, to get people to start drawing Captain Citrus, Derek. That would be like
with drinks.
Oh, God. All right.
So, Captain Canuck.
In off-topic news, do have to mention, we were able to go and get hot dogs yesterday, and Dirk M.F. Manning was able to consume 5, while Seth M.V. DeMoose was only able to consume 4. So Dirk beat Seth in hot dog eating.
That's actually a great segue, Tony. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but Indy Turnpike this week. Matt.
I finally watched that DreamWorks thing, Turbo, which is about the snail that goes really, really fast.
With Ryan Reynolds.
With Ryan Reynolds, yeah. And, you know, not a bad story. Didn't go in the direction I thought it would, and I kind of liked it. So.
Kind of surprised?
It was about the Indianapolis 500 and a snail racing in it.
So, all right, Indy Turnpike this week is Tales of Mystery Carmageddon, issue 1 of 4 from Devil's Due Entertainment. Written by Dirk Manning and drawn by Seth the Moose, and then colors by Anthony D. Lee, letters by Jim Reddington. This is the follow-up to the first volume of Tales of Mystery, which I know we've heard about. Oh, I don't know, maybe briefly in passing.
Yeah. Mystery, I get it.
Yeah, shut up. Every once in a while I'm really stupid. A lot of times I'm really stupid, but this is absolutely gorgeous book. As far, you know, from the artwork from Seth. I mean, he's not only a good friend of the show, but he is fantastic at eliciting emotion from his characters in here, and definitely a very unique style. It's, you know, it's gritty, it's a little dirty, you know, but I think that's what really brings this book to life. I mean, it's post-apocalypse. Where you have Mr. Ree is out there, and you know you've already had people, and we're talking like biblical apocalypse, where there's demons running around and people are trying to pretend that the things have gone back to normal, but they really haven't. And Mr. Ree is the guy that's kind of out there, more or less like a paranormal troubleshooter, if you will. But I do want to point out one thing, because there were a few people that were nice enough to Dirk to give him a pull quote for the back of Volume 1 of his of the Tales of Mystery trade. And the payment in return was that he killed all of us.
Did he?
Yeah. So Cosmic Casey is getting her heart ripped out by a little demon. And I have been disemboweled and crucified with Founder's beer bottles.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So, if nothing else, pick it up just so you can see me die. So, if you don't like me, there you go. It's
now that he's dead, you can poke him with a stick and he won't even care.
Yeah. But this is a great story, and we talked to Dirk about it a while back, and actually he's going to have... He's actually going to give us a big, like, release of information in the interview that we are going to be doing with him a little bit later on. And our listeners will be hearing later this week. So, big press announcement coming up later. But yeah, go check this book out. It's fun. It's cool. There's a ton of Easter eggs in here, too, which is a lot of fun, I know, for people to find.
Oh, Seth does that with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's well, and there are certain things that are written in here as well as drawn in here.
You should totally put some Easter eggs like in the background,
just
like
actual Easter eggs.
Easter. It's Easter.
So, dead Easter bunny on the ground. Just
yeah, but you know, if your comic shop can't get it, you can order it online, I believe, and you can also get it digitally and all that too. So go check it out. Oh, we got Booze in a Book.
Yeah, what do you got?
Booze in a Book this week. I've got Daredevil number 8.
Really?
Yep.
Bingo.
Yep. and this kind of goes in vain with all the drinks that Tony's been talking about the last few weeks. This I'm pairing with a Purple Rain.
I haven't had one of those in years.
Yeah. Now, Purple Rain is similar to basically Long Island iced tea. It's all of your clear liquors, your tequila, your vodka, your gin, rum, and then it's Chambord. Which is, you know, your raspberry liqueur, and just a splash of sour, and it's almost entirely liquor. Like all of the other drinks, apparently, we're not even fucking around with mixers anymore. but I'm pairing it with Daredevil number 8 because this stars the Purple Children.
Like the bad guys or
The children of the Purple Man?
I'm not going to give it away.
Okay.
Children of the Corn.
But all I know is
the cover's very purple.
If I had to deal with this many children, I would need a lot of booze, too. So that's why I'm doing it.
Nice.
All right. Last call, guys.
Well, first off, brought to you by Ink Whiskey.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I've apparently been drinking a little bit too much this week. Thank you, Tony. Yeah. Who's in the Book brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Very happy that we've been able to promote them here at this show as well with their flasks. You can get them online. Go to inkwhiskey.com. New retro gaming flasks. All right.
Cool.
Now we can move on.
All right.
Last call. Uncanny Avengers number 24 is starting the whole story arc that's going to lead into Axis. Creepy Red Skull concentration camp for mutants.
Superior Spider-Man. Can't wait for Spider-Verse. This is... I was kind of, like, hesitant of all the books I'm going to have to pick up for it, but all of them have been superior.
So ultimately, it's a good thing.
See, now, like, the Ultimate Universe, you could say Ultimately Universe there all the time.
Like, ultimately, Miles Morales with all new X-Men, because he's from there.
Yeah. Trees, what was it, number 5, Manifest Destiny, definitely worth still picking those
Manifest
up.
Manifest Destiny number 9. You're going to blow over that one now.
That's number 10.
That's 10.
It's 10? 5. That's why I guess I don't want to... That's why I'm kind of tight-lipped with my last calls, because I don't have my... I forgot my books.
did you get this one, Kev?
I did.
Drawing a 3?
I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
It was cool. It was really cool. And then Jim Henson's The Storyteller... Witches, number 1 of 4.
Did you ever see the show that they made?
No, I did not.
It might be on Netflix or Hulu, because that's where I first saw it. It's got the Jim Henson creature things. It's kind of in the same way that they did the Dark Crystal and the Labyrinth, that it's mostly people, but there are puppets involved in it. Real fun stories. Just real good stuff.
This is from Archaea, which, you know, they have the Jim Henson license, and for other people that, if they don't know, Archaea and Boom are the same company, or at least under the same, you know, umbrella of Boom. And Archaea always puts out one of the highest quality books from a production standpoint out of, I think, any company out there. So it's beautiful stuff. And I'm just a Jim Henson fan, and it was pretty and definitely worth picking up if you want something a little bit different too. So. All right, guys. Should we get back and have a little bit more con fun?
Yes.
Yeah, because this has been grand, right, Tony?
Connie,
did you say con fun or con funk?
Oh no, there's
both. There's a little bit of both.
There's always con funk. You can't get around it. But all right, guys. I think that'll do it.
Does it for me. Keep reading your books, and we'll be back next week to talk about them then.
Bye.